One of the best ways to be a good parent is to model a joyful, full life. It gives permission to your kids to ultimately do the same. It allows them to trust and believe in the good of a relationship and of sexuality. But we can readily make every demand on our time, every possibility in which we should be sacrificing for our kids, really interfere with creating a space in which the couple itself can thrive.
Welcome to Conversations with Dr. Jennifer, a collection of interviews on the topics of relationships, sexuality, spirituality, and more, all featuring Dr. Finlayson Fife.
It's the Happy Families Podcast. It's the podcast for the time-poor parent who just wants answers now.
Hello, this is Dr. Justin Coulson, the founder of happyfamilies.com.au. This time last week, we had a conversation with Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife. She is a sex therapist, relationship expert, and it was just such a great discussion that we were having. Because we enjoyed the discussion so much, I kept it going, but we've spread it out across two episodes. So today is part two of my discussion with Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife. If you missed part one, I strongly encourage you to go back to last Wednesday and have a listen to that before you dive into this one today. But if you would like to know what you can do to improve your intimate life, this is the podcast episode for you. A quick word before we dive into this episode. The content of this episode is probably not for younger kids. You might want to consider who's listening. Listener discretion is advised. Let's begin by asking Dr. Finlayson Fife, how does parenting impact sex drive?
First of all, I think, yes, you're absolutely right. Because when I'm going back to that example of a resentment-inducing dynamic, give me 2 minutes, right, or whatever, that is antithetical to play. Okay, now some people might be like, I don't know how to play if she doesn't want it, or, you know, I hate the way he's sexual with me. How are we supposed to play when I just makes my skin crawl, whatever. So there are often issues going on in the marriage that need to be addressed for there to be a deeper sense of freedom. But more specific to your question is, how is parenting sometimes antithetical to good sex, I think is what you're asking, because a lot of times our notion of what it is to be a parent is about responsibility and duty, and the kids come first, and, you know, we have a responsibility to them. We shouldn't be up here playing, because that's, we're leaving our posts, okay? And there's some truth in that, especially if you have very young children. You don't obviously want to be negligent or leave your post. But a lot of times our anxieties about sexuality and our fear of letting ourselves be a whole person will, or our notions of what a good parent is, which is in self-sacrificing to a fault, interferes with our living a joyful, full life. And I think one of the best ways to be a good parent is to model a joyful, full life. It gives permission to your kids to ultimately do the same. It allows them to trust and believe in the good of a relationship and of sexuality. But we can readily make every demand on our time, every possibility in which we should be sacrificing for our kids, really interfere with creating a space in which the couple itself can thrive. And I think it's exceptionally important.
So how do we get there? We've talked about creating a relationship where specifically the man doesn't think that he's the main show, but instead that he elevates his wife or partner so that she becomes taken care of, I guess, and has that opportunity to be desired. We've talked about the different kinds of desire. You've highlighted the importance of play. How does an exhausted couple who's running around after the kids, trying to juggle two jobs, meet inflationary pressures and mortgage payments and rent and all those sorts of things, how do they find the capacity to elevate one another and be responsive to one another in the wonderful, intimate way that you've described, when everything just feels so pressured all the time and everyone's exhausted and struggling?
If you think of it as one more thing we need to do, okay, we got to make time for sex, okay?
Yeah.
Well, now you've just added another thing to your list that could easily be related to as another version of depletion.
It feels burdensome, doesn't it?
It can. Now, I think if you think of it more in terms of we have to have sex, okay, or else our relationship's over, I think it, instead of thinking of it like that, is how do we create a space of rejuvenation for the two of us? Is there a way to carve out an opportunity to be a couple, right? And I remember in the thick of when my kids were very small, I had a special needs child. It was hard to justify doing anything for myself, right? Because, and legitimately so, it was intensive time. There was a lot to be done. But on the other hand, keeping a marriage and a sense of self strong enough during that difficult time means it's worth sacrificing for and making space to go and watch that movie together, go get dinner, even if it's once every 4 months, but have meaning during times when it's economically or logistically difficult, to try and create space to remember you're a person, you're a woman, you're a man first, right? A couple second, and parents third. And to just cultivate that space to remember, because it also turns you into a better parent and a better partner. You know, I remember during a time when my kids were, it was an intensive period, right? I was home, I had a special needs child, I was pregnant, and I had an additional child. And I love architecture and design, and we were going to renovate our house. And so I remember feeling kind of guilty, leaving my kids with a sitter and going out to choose countertops. But it was so thrilling to do that. You know, like, it's like, I loved that. I loved the design part of it, the creative part of it, the experience of having a kitchen that would actually be functional. And I remember coming back from those 2 hours away and thinking, look, they had 2 great hours with a babysitter who loved playing with them. I came back feeling filled up by this experience of accessing another part of myself. And I was more excited to see them than I would have been, right? My point is, it was like, it's not a zero sum game. And so cultivate, this is not related to a couple, but cultivating time to be with one another, to be a partnership, facilitates strength in the other domains.
Who would have thought that kitchen countertops could be so stimulating? It could make your life feel so good.
Yeah, totally. These are some nice countertops, yeah. I'm telling you.
Parenting does really strange things to people. It really does. Jennifer, I have two more questions for you.
Sure.
One of them is a really practical question. I receive a lot of emails from people when they want us to answer questions on the podcast. And around about a year ago, I got an email. I don't even have access to it anymore, but I chose not to answer it because I just didn't really know where to go with it. I couldn't see it turning into a full podcast episode. It was a little bit too, it was just a, what I thought would be a 2 or 3 minute answer, and that was it. But now that I've got you here, I think that you're the perfect person to answer it. And the question was, and I'm paraphrasing, a mum wrote in and said that her 6-year-old child had walked into the bedroom. The door wasn't locked. Her and her husband were being intimate at the time. And she just wanted to know, what do I say? Do I ignore it? Do I pretend it didn't happen? How do I respond to this? I'd love to get your take on that before I sort of wrap up the podcast.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, first of all, I do think you should address it, because your child is going to be confused and might even be afraid, right? And because it depends on what exactly they saw.
Yeah, the email was pretty skinny on details there.
I remember a coworker of mine was saying that his child walked in and so we went back into the bedroom, and he asked his son, I think it was about a 6-year-old, 5-year-old, you know, if he had seen mommy and daddy, and he said, yes. And he said, were you doing push-ups on top of mommy? Okay, so this was his way of making sense of it, right? And so I think it's important to talk about it and say, you know, it's maybe a little bit confusing, but this is a way of mom and dad loving each other. And it's a way, it's like a grown-up kind of hug that's pleasurable and enjoyable, even if it's hard to understand. And someday you will understand it. So partly why I think this is important is just helping their minds to kind of make some sense of it at a level that they can understand. And even to give them the caveat that someday you'll understand it better. But this is something, it's a way of mom and dad being close, expressing love for one another, and that I'm sorry that you witnessed it, because it can be a little confusing, but someday you'll understand better what it is and why it's such a favorable thing.
Right. And so presumably if your child were older, let's say 12, 14, something like that, and they stumbled into the bedroom,
you wouldn't
necessarily apologize that it's confusing. You would just say, we need to lock the door more often. We didn't realize you were going to be home. And obviously, you know that we love each other a lot. Like, is that
you kind of? I'm sorry you had to experience it. Not because there's anything bad about it, but because it's a boundary that, you know, kids want to maybe know their parents love each other, but don't want to witness that love.
<That's right. laughs> Great stuff. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So I guess the last thing that I wanted to ask you was, what do you wish more people understood? Just in a nutshell, the top three things, or maybe just the top one thing, what do you wish more people understood when it comes to a healthy, intimate life?
Well, just that sexuality and desire are important in a marriage, unless it's been explicitly negotiated out of the marriage. So that is to say, in modern marriage, we marry under the assumption of desire. And that's how we choose a partner, usually, unless we're in an arranged marriage or some other non-typical Western marriage. That is, of all my options, I desire you, and I want to bring my desire and sexuality here and expect you to do the same, to not bring it outside of the marriage. But then, while that often feels good to us at its inception, right? Especially our partner bringing their sexuality nowhere else, at least. The challenges of creating a good sexual relationship and creating something that is more intimate, that is, that allows us to grow into people capable of creating a mutually satisfying sexual relationship, are often challenging enough that we start to neglect addressing that relationship. And we think, oh, this is just superficial and we're no longer 20 and the kids are more important. And a way of dealing with some of our anxieties around this is to be negligent or indulgent towards it and not treat it with the respect it deserves. And I'm not saying, oh gosh, that means you should just put out because otherwise he's going to go somewhere. I'm not that idea. But how do we attend to what's going on here to keep this relationship thriving and keep its foundation stable, even in the many other good endeavors that we do? And because it's a part of its foundational creation, it's worthy of our engagement. It's worthy of our attention to address it. And it's good for our children when we do that.
And it's good for us, good for our family.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife, the podcast that you can hear, it's literally when this one drops into my feed every week or every fortnight, or whenever it drops in, it's the one that I listen to immediately. The podcast is called Conversations with Dr. Jennifer. Look it up wherever you get your podcasts. On top of that, though, Jennifer, you also have another podcast that people can subscribe to get some much more, I guess, in-depth content.
That's right. So it's called Room for Two, and I'm working with couples who have pseudonyms and there's some voice distortion, but they're bringing up really typical marital issues around emotional intimacy, sexual intimacy, issues with in-laws, and issues with finances and so on. And I'm working with that couple for others to listen in. And people have found it to be really helpful because it allows them the chance to listen in and both find it normalizing, like, oh my gosh, that is so us. We do the same thing. But then also to hear my input and get that vicarious help, like start to see this is what we're doing in our sexual relationship and this is why it's not been going so well for us. And hey, I realize I need to change this part of what I'm doing. And so it's a valuable tool for learning how to be a better partner, how to create a better sexual relationship. And so, yeah.
I love it. So Conversations with Dr. Jennifer and Room for Two. We will link to both of those in the show notes. In addition, when I was emailing backwards and forwards with Christy, your wonderful assistant, she indicated that you offer a very brief course to help couples who have enjoyed this conversation.
It's a e-course. It's about 30 minutes long, called 10 Myths That Are Destroying Your Sex Life. So if you found it helpful to just kind of think about this. There's a lot of ideas, you know, one of being like sex is for the man. Okay. So it's helping people understand some of these inherited ideas that they may unwittingly be living out, but is actually undermining the very thing they're trying to make better.
Fabulous. 10 myths that are killing your sex life. We will again provide all the information necessary for that in the show notes. What a great conversation. I think it's been so valuable. Great to be with you. Thank you again, Dr. Jennifer.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Jennifer Finlayson-Fife is a licensed clinical professional counselor, relationship and sexuality educator with a PhD in counseling psychology from Boston College. You can find more about her at Finlayson-Fife. That's Finlayson-Fife.com. Finlayson-Fife.com. We'll link to that in the show notes, as well as her two podcasts and her course, 10 Myths That Are Killing Your Sex Life. The Happy Families podcast is produced by Justin Rulon for Bridge Media. Craig Bruce is our executive producer. And for more about making your family happier, stay listening to the Happy Families podcast for more tomorrow, and check out our Facebook page, Dr. Justin Coulson's Happy Families.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, we ask that you please rate, review, and share the podcast so that more people can find and benefit from Dr. Jennifer's work.